Spiritual warfare can be an intimidating subject, but Pastor Ray Bentley says we can have confidence.
Jesus fought Satan. Jesus defeated sin. 2,000 years ago, that's why he cried from the cross, "It is finished." So literally, as a Christian, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Ever watched a movie you've already seen before? You know it's going to happen. You know, even though the main character is in great peril, you'll be just fine in the end. Well, today, Pastor Ray says we can have the same confidence in the spiritual warfare we face every day. The war has been fought, and we win.
Let's open our Bibles then to Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, Paul has, he's been talking in this section about relationships, about husbands and wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And wives, respect, submit, listen to, honor, reverence your husbands, even as the church, as the bride, does Christ. And then Ephesians 5:21 puts that into this context, submitting one to another and the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' teaching, true love is not being the boss and having somebody do what you want, but the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is what? The servant of all. Say that out loud. The servant of all. That's the greatest. Jesus came and said, "I did not come to be ministered to," even though I'm the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, "I came to minister." The night before he went to the cross, he takes off his garment and the towel, and he washes the disciples' feet. And he says, "Now, I have been an example to you. I have served you. I have done the job of a servant and of a slave. I have washed your feet and loved you and cared for you," even after his resurrection. Now, you know, my image would be that he's kind of hovering above everyone and with the clouds and all of that, and that they're down here. But no, he's standing on the seashore in his new resurrected, glorified body, calling out to the guys who were fishermen and didn't know what to do in the confusion and chaos of the crucifixion. And they had gone back fishing. And so now Jesus calls out and he says, "Hey," in the early morning, you know, where it's misty, you can't really see, "Hey, have you guys caught anything?" "No, we haven't caught anything." Which seems like the constant story. I don't think they were very good fishermen, even though that was their trade. They never caught anything. So he says, "You know, cast your nets on the other side and you'll find fish." And there he is, the master of the universe. And I'm imagining that Jesus is there watching. And I wonder, you know, sometimes I think about the Lord and his sense of humor. If he just had all of the fish, you know, he just tells them, "Hey, you guys go on, you know, see where the nets are, skip that, go around to the other side, wait there all night until I, you know, give the signal." It seems like that's kind of the way it was, because, I mean, the boats are not that wide. They're a little bit wider than this pulpit. So they've got their nets over here all night long, they don't get nothing. Finally, Jesus said, "Pick up your nets, walk over to the other boat, like three steps, drop your nets." Whoa, they can't, the boats begin to sink. And so they knew it was the Lord, and they go to shore. You know, John says to Peter, "It's the Lord." So Peter dives in the water, and he swims to shore. Of course, the last scene that Jesus and Peter had, Peter had denied the Lord three times, and now Jesus, here he is, Peter, dripping wet, standing, humiliated, and there's Jesus, alive, with the nail prints in his hands, and yet he's resurrected, and he doesn't understand, and he's trying to apologize, and Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Oh, okay, then feed my sheep." Then he asked him again a second time, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Good, then feed my sheep." Third time, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Then feed my sheep." How beautiful that Jesus heals Peter by letting him three times now affirm take back his denial and give three affirmations. I love you, I see you, I believe in you. And then, what is Jesus doing there? He serves them breakfast. He serves them. He's already got fish. He's caught fish a long time ago. He's waiting for them. The fire is roasting. There's a little bread. And he serves them breakfast. You know, I mean, that is awe-inspiring to me. We're going to be so shocked when we get to heaven. Yes, there's going to be glory. You're going to probably fall on your face and won't be able to even handle it. And there's going to be all these various angelic creatures, and it's going to be beautiful, but there's going to also be something about the approachableness, the realness of Jesus. It's going to be, it really is going to be heaven. So as we talk about this, you know, that we need to love one another and serve one another, and husbands and wives, and now children, obey your parents as it is right in the Lord. It's the first commandment with a blessing. Honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you, and you will have a long life. And immediately after talking about that, Paul says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Look at it in verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." I think that it's no coincidence that right after talking about family issues and heart relationships, he goes immediately into spiritual warfare. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where faith is more than just, oh, these fancy, you know, intricate theological ideas that are way up here somewhere. Oh, no, we're talking flesh and blood and bread and water reality. This is what it means. Being spiritual is not just about going to church and doing spiritual things and helping do good works. But where it really begins, the first sanctuary, if you will, is in the home. Now, having said that, I realize that we all of us that are in here come from all kinds of different families. Some of you have already experienced the spiritual warfare. Some of you have already gone through breakups and divorces and separations and the anxieties of all these different things. Well, then, what is the Lord's word to you this morning? Number one, that's probably why now you being broken have come to the Lord, to recognize your need for him. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ, not only from him, but there needs to be then from you to others, forgiveness. At the same time, you need to be aware now, whatever state that your family is in, hey, guess what? We're under attack. And the attacking is not just, you know, ministries that are out here somewhere and radio and television trying to evangelize the world, but the real attack is on the homes, because that's what's most meaningful to the Lord. That's what the church is. It's a family of brothers and sisters. That's where the spiritual warfare really begins. So wherever you are now, I think that we would probably all agree, we better know, number one, that relationships between men and women and parents and children, that's what Satan really wants to destroy. That's what he's really after. Because that really is the heart and the core of what is nearest and dearest to the heart of our Heavenly Father, his family and his children. So there's healing, there's forgiveness, and you come to Christ. But now he would say to you, if you're, you know, just now waking up spiritually, hey, you better get a clue, because if you don't recognize there is a spiritual battle, that you have an enemy, and that if you're not aware of his strategies and plans, he's going to find a way to pass on from one generation to the next the angst and anguish of the past. Somewhere, somebody along the way has to say, okay, my generation's the one that's breaking the chains. We're breaking patterns. We're not going to do that again. I'm not going to let that happen in my life. That's one of the valuable lessons of suffering and pain, is you learn what not to do. And then you also learn what you can do. What Paul is now trying to do is say, okay, body made up partly of Jews in Ephesus, partly of Gentiles, they're as messed up and broken as we are today. They're human beings just like us. So Paul gathers them together and he says, listen, guys, we have some protection. The first thing you need is the belt of truth. It holds everything together, the belt of a Roman soldier. And so the word of God is certainly the truth. Then he says in verse 14, you need a breastplate of righteousness. Your heart is very vulnerable. The first place Satan sends his arrows is at your heart. And you know what his goal is? His goal is for you to lose heart. His goal is to destroy your heart, for you to give up on love. And in fact, here's what, you know what he wants to do to your heart? He wants you to buy into the worldly belief that life is the survival of the fittest, and yeah, it is a jungle out there, and the only way to survive is to harden your heart. You better get tough. You better get hard. You better get cynical. You better get not believing and not trusting, and Murphy's Law is the law. It's all going to fall apart. It is going to get worse, and so you make your heart as much like a stone as you possibly can and protect yourself from all that needless pain. That's Satan's goal. Make your heart like a heart of stone. And you can go that path, and you can get to the place where you actually, you don't feel anything. You don't care about anybody or whatever they do or whatever happens to you. Congratulations. You've lost the image of God. Here's what God wants to do. God says, no, I know this world's broken. I know your heart's bleeding. I know that you're in pain. I know you feel like you're going to die from what you've been through and what you're going through. But I made you in my image and my likeness, and I'm going to heal you. And in fact, rather than making your heart hard and buffering it against all the pain, I'm actually going to make it softer. I'm going to make it more sensitive. I'm going to make it more intuitive. I'm going to make you more like me and more loving and more gentle and more with tenderness and more with kindness and more joy. In fact, I don't want you to feel less. I want you to feel more. And my spirit will bring it to you, and I will heal all of the pain and suffering you've gone through, and I will give you real love and joy, because you can't feel love and joy and peace if you don't go through that painful process. But I will cover your heart, because Satan wants to destroy and crush your heart. I'll cover it with a breastplate of my righteousness. You wear it proudly. You stand there and say, I'm accepted by my Heavenly Father, not because I'm good, not because of what I do, but I'm covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's your breastplate.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We're so happy to share Pastor Ray's messages with you each day here on Maranatha Radio. And we enjoy hearing when listeners find it a blessing. Listen to this.
Dear Pastor Ray, how delightful to listen to you speak God's word. I often take notes, look up scripture, and am moved to pray. God bless your every moment spent with your Bible. May you never tire of sharing your insight with us.
How have Pastor Ray's studies touched your life? Would you let him know? Send an email today to ray@raybentley.com. ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now he moves on in verse 15. He says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The next piece of armor that he gives to us is what you wear on your feet. Okay, now does this make any sense to you? I'm reading along. Okay, Paul, so I'm in a spiritual battle. I've got a real enemy that I can't even see. He comes at me from directions I'm not ready for, not counting on. So I've got to have a belt on that's going to hold me together, called the truth. I've got this breastplate of righteousness. All right, now give me something I can fight back with. Paul says, no, not yet. What you need are some good shoes so that you know how to win the battle. Okay, give me some good shoes. All right, you're getting the shoes of peace. Shoes of peace? What kind of armament is that? What kind of defense is that? Peaceful shoes for war. Peace shoes for war. That doesn't make any sense. Paul, what are you talking about? If you have a pen or a pencil, I want you to write this down. It's very important. If you don't write it down physically, make a mental note of it. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. The war is over. It's already been fought. And we weren't even alive yet, which is kind of cool. Jesus fought Satan. Jesus took on death. Jesus defeated sin. 2,000 years ago, that's why he cried from the cross, it is finished. He didn't say, I've made the down payment. He didn't say, I've begun. He said, it's done. So literally, as a Christian, We're standing on, you know, the game, the King of the Hill, we're standing on the mountain with God. We are, and the ground we stand on is bloodstained from a battle that happened before we ever even came into existence. And the blood is the blood of Jesus. And that ground is holy ground, and it's victorious ground, and therefore we get to walk in peace. Now, the world, they're at war with God. Before you come to Christ, you're at war with God. And the reason you're at war with God is that because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. So he fights the devil, and he fights for your soul. When you really love someone and you love something, you fight for it, and he fights for you. It's not that he's trying to fight you personally, he loves you, but he doesn't want you to be lost. And so there's a battle that's going on in the minds and the consciences of all those who are not walking with the Lord. And so the world is always, they're fighting on so many different levels, I don't even know quite how they survive. You and I no longer are fighting with God. And we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. I will never forget the day that I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I went home. I went into my bedroom. I wanted to be alone. I laid down, and I felt like I was flying. It was an experience of truth, hearing the word. It was something tangible. It's something that burns inside of me to this day. No one can take that away from me. I know that it's real, personally. Not only, yes, because God said it, and I believe it, but I've tasted it. I've experienced the peace of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So we walk in the world in peace. But Paul knows that sometimes that in this world we still have fights. We still fight with one another. We fight with other believers. We fight within the family. And Paul is saying, hey, walk in peace. Now, I have, some news for you guys that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I fight at home with my wife. Shh, don't tell anybody. But sometimes Vicky and I have fights. And because you guys see me, and most of you ever see me is standing behind the pulpit. I'm wearing a white shirt and a tie with a Bible in my hand, elevated 3 or 4 feet. I want to let you know I'm human. Did you guys know that I'm human? I really am. Oh, don't clap for that. That's nothing to be proud of. I'm just stating the facts. So Vicky and I do get in fights, and I'll tell you the worst time. I mean, talking about how the enemy's trying to get in and wanting to ruin and wreck everything. The worst is if we have a fight, like on Sunday morning, before I'm coming to church. And I'm trying everything, at some point I'm being stubborn and I'm holding on and no, and then finally I got to go to church. Okay, yeah, whatever. And she's, no, you're just agreeing with me. And so we're going back and forth. And so finally, I say, honey, I got to 8:30, I got to go. I got to go. And so she stands there and she goes, oh, really? You go, preacher boy, you go. Yeah, you can tell all them. And so I walk out, and drive. But here I'm all, oh, yes, Lord, yes. Oh, you would never know. But why is it so hard for us to admit that we're wrong? That, golly, honey, I don't know why I'm being so stubborn and I'm fighting, and you got to have I try to have the last word and I'm right. The scriptures say that peace is when somebody just says, you know what, you're right. And I was just being stubborn. I don't know why I was acting that way and I was wrong. And all of a sudden it diffuses the situation. If there, you can't have a fight unless two people are wanting to have a fight, and someone that just says no and steps back, it brings peace. And that works not only in the home, it works in the world. I do realize there's some things you've got to stand, and there is a time to fight and principle and all of that. But we walk in peace. And believe it or not, we're standing on the ground of victory. We have peace with God. We can experience peace with one another. And it's a wonderful and a marvelous and a glorious thing. Ephesians 2:14, let's read this scripture out loud. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus is our peace. Walk in peace. And then Paul says, not only in verse 16, you have your feet with the gospel of peace, take the shield of faith. Now, the shield was, the kind of shield he's talking about is not the little circle one that's on your arm, you know, where they would sometimes hold that. This one is the one that is about 4 feet in height, covers from the nose to the knees. So it's about 4 foot in height and about 2 foot wide. It basically covers everything. It's the big shield. And Paul says, you need a big shield. Not only is it something that protects your heart, but you need something out here. And Paul says that what protects us from head to toe is that faith and confidence in God. Trusting in the Lord. This is the main lesson of being a Christian, is that no matter where I am in life, no matter what is happening, no matter what is being thrown at me, I come to a place, it's kind of my grounding, I'm trusting in the Lord. Because I don't have all the answers, I can't figure it out, and I need help, and there is a God, and therefore, what's the purpose of having a relationship with God if you can't use that relationship? And so trust in the Lord. God wants us to trust in him so that he can act on our behalf. So here's the picture. Your enemy, Satan, is sending thousands of fiery, you know, those fire-tipped arrows, and he's launching them. And not only him, but all his fallen angels as well. And they're launching raining fiery darts. And boy, those guys, they had to have those shields. They had to be strong. They were made of wood, then covered over with linen. Then they had iron around them. They were quite heavy, but they also protected your life. And there are a lot of flaming darts. One of them that Satan uses is his malicious accusations. He says, oh, you're not good enough. You're not spiritual enough. You're not real. You're not genuine. And you've already backslidden, and it doesn't work for you, or whatever that he may try to bring to you. And you have to say, no, I'm trusting in the Lord. It's very easy for us to rationalize, because know this, there are going to be moments of great vulnerability in your life. And in those moments when you who have heard the gospel and you have Christian influence and parents and praying for you, and you say, okay, man, I'm a wreck. I'm gonna take some steps forward spiritually, start seeking help here. The moment you do that, there's going to be opposition. And in fact, rather than saying, oh, I better take two steps back again, that's exactly what Satan wants to have happen. And he starts barraging you to discourage you. Rather than, you know, step back, say, hey, this must be confirmation I'm headed in the right direction.
Pastor Ray Bentley, giving us a good perspective on the spiritual warfare we face every day. Good insight today here on Maranatha Radio, and there's more to come next time. Today's study is titled Spiritual Warfare Part 2. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you first arrive at our homepage, by clicking Media, you'll see the words Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can arrange to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions each day automatically at no charge. And also, you can link to his YouTube and Facebook pages. So why not bookmark it, raybentley.com. And you'll find Pastor Ray's latest books there, too. His new books on the Mountain of the Lord and his latest, The Cyrus Mandate, a prophetic fiction novel. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Ephesians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.